Hello and welcome to everyone listening to the Written to Melanin podcast, the place where you come to get your weekly dose of melanated creativity. I'm your host, CM Lockhart, an author of fantasy books featuring black girls who aren't all that nice and the owner of the Melanin Library, an online database of books written by black authors. And in this space, I share with you everything I've learned on my journey as a black and indie author. I'm glad you're here. Welcome to a special bonus episode of the Written to Melanin podcast, you guys. Today, Jessica Cage is with me, and she is an international award-winning and USA Today best-selling author of over 30 published books. She is also the host of the More Than a Plot Point podcast, which I've had the lovely pleasure of being featured on, so make sure you check that out. And she is also a mentor to indie authors across the world. Born and raised in Chicago, she's always been in love with writing and the art of crafting worlds. For over a decade, Jessica has a following of readers and writers alike waiting to see what she does next, and I am definitely one of those people. So welcome to the podcast, Jessica.
Wow, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So for those of you listening to this podcast, I need you to know that I absolutely love this person. She is an amazing human being. And if you are not tuned into my YouTube channel, then unfortunately you missed when she came on. We talked and we sprinted and we had a good time. So for sure, go back, check out the replay. I don't know which sprint it is, so you're gonna have to watch all of them. Good for you. But that being said, this woman is brilliant. She's talented. She's creative. She is out here doing the thing. And if you are in this indie author space, especially this black indie author space, I know that you have absolutely heard of her at some point or another, because truly, for all of us who write fantasy, specifically black fantasy, she's kind of the goal. Like, we're trying to be like Jessica, like truly, truly. So that being said, ma'am, I'm not going to just sit here and rant and sing all your praises. So let's start at the beginning. So for our listeners who this may be their first introduction to you, tell us a little bit about yourself and also about your, well, let's start with your podcast, because we're going to get into your book stuff a little bit later. So podcast, you, all the fun stuff.
Okay. First, I'm like, who is she talking about? I still have that, like, imposter syndrome, seriously. Like,
it's no so one knows I am.
So about me, as you said, my name is Jessica. I'm from Chicago. I grew up loving fantasy through my mother and books through my grandmother. And I grew up and I said, hey, I want fantasy with people who look like me. Like, where am I in these stories? Which I think a lot of us have the same kind of origin as to why we're writing the books that we're writing now, is that we wanted something that we didn't see. And that's what I'm doing now. Like, it's weird to say, like, you know, when I was a little kid, I wanted to be so many things. Like, I wanted to be a fashion designing lawyer. I wanted to be a stand-up comedian. Like, so many things, but I was always a storyteller. Like, from the time I could talk, I was telling stories. And it was my grandmother who was like, write those stories down because you're talking my ear off. and I'm trying to read my book, you know.
Grandma said, stop talking to me.
She said, come on, child. You see, I'm trying to enjoy my stories now. So it just started there, right? And I grew up and I love it. And so about the podcast is, I wanted to highlight, the More Than a Plot Point podcast is highlighting storytellers like myself and you who are putting, you know, black and POC characters at the forefront of stories, because way too often we saw ourselves as the secondary character, the supporting character, or the, you know, the throwaway character that sacrificed for the non-POC's, you know, storyline, right? So I'm like, and I have so many people who come to me and they're like, I need more people like you. Where are they? And I'm like, they're everywhere. Like, what are you talking about? So this is a way that I get to highlight, you know, other authors and creators in general. Like, I'm talking to everyone across the board. Like, if you're creating stories or art or music, I want to hear your story because people are looking for you. You know what I mean? I tell people all the time, like, I used to take a list with me when I would do signings, when people would be like, oh my God, I need to, you know, I need more black fantasy writers, whatever. I would pull that list out, like, take a picture, you know, because it's like 100 people on his list. Go buy their books, you know.
I love that you came with receipts. You're like, I am going to be prepared.
Here's the list.
And it's so crazy that you say that, because, like, I'm like, I've not had anyone be specifically like, oh, I'm looking for something exactly like this, because fortunately, you know, we live in an era where it's so much easier to find. And then also, slight plug, the Melanin Library exists, so you can also go on there and find books by Black authors, right? But it's also like, the research can be done, but also when I think about it, I'm like, now as an adult, I kind of make it a point where it's like, all the books that I read basically are by Black authors. So I'm like, yo, if you need books, I got you. I got references. Right. I got a backlog. Like, let's go.
Let's go. Yeah, I love it. It's like, at one point I was like, I'm going to get like a little QR code and just sit it out there. So like, scan the code and go buy these books, because they're there. And they're, I mean, so many talented people. So my podcast was just my effort to kind of shine more light on those people who are doing the thing, and you know, readers just don't know that they're there. So
I appreciate it, because I mean, honestly, that's the same reason why all the things that I do came into existence, just because I'm like, y'all know that we exist. Like there are people doing this. It's not just me. Like, I'm not an anomaly. I'm not a dinosaur where it's just like, oh my God, where have you seen that? Like, no, like there are tons of us. We're just kind of spread out because, unfortunately, you know, mainstream media doesn't always give us the shine and the spotlight like I would say we deserve. So you have to go through, the word of mouth, someone who knows someone. And it's just like, if I can tell you about somebody, I'm gonna put you on to them, especially if they're good. Now, if they're not good, I mean, we might know each other, but like, sure.
Because there's always like that point of like, you have to be credible. Like, you want them to come back for more recommendations. So if you recommend someone that you honestly don't think is good, then okay, that person's never coming back to you again.
Truly. That's why I tell people all the time, like, this version of the podcast, I'm like, yeah, you guys, these people on the podcast now, they are vetted. Okay. So that being said, you guys, if you have not listened to the More Than a Plot Point podcast, for sure, check it out, especially if you're looking for more creators. Because like Jessica said, it's not just authors, but I know for a fact that like Michael LeBourne has been on your podcast, and he has his own publishing company, and he's really big on social media about promoting Black and people of color authors. So get into it. Check it out. But this episode on this podcast, right, we are talking about Jessica's books and things that she has created out of that beautiful brain of hers. Because let me tell you guys something, being an author is hard, right? Like, being creative in general is a task. It's difficult, it's time consuming. And sometimes you're just like, oh, you sit there and you realize that, like, I really just made up a whole world and people and scenarios and conversations out of thin air, and nobody thought to call me absolutely bat crazy. You know, but I digress. The point is, you have created this shared world that is going to be coming out like this month in July, right? First month comes out in July. And for those of you who don't know, I'm talking about the Eldritch. Is it Eldritch? Oh, or Eldritch.
Eldritch, yeah.
Yeah, the Eldritch Trials. And it's got like 8 authors in it, and they're all completely separate novels, but they're all based in the same world. All Black authors, and all who have written books before, because I've seen all the names that you have. These are not like, I don't want to say random and podunk, but these are like not random and podunk authors. These are like people who have been in this space, in this sphere. And not only did you get them together, you were spearheading this project. So like, can you tell our listeners about that?
Yeah, so this is actually my second shared world that I've done. The first one was like, okay, I have an idea. Let's see how it goes. And it did really well. Like, honestly, it did really well, but I took a lot of notes from that process, and I was like, okay, we're going to strengthen this. We're going to do it better. And that's what the Eldritch Trials is. It's, you know, shared world 2.0. It took us almost 2 years of working together to bring these stories to light. I generally create the world and the basic rules of the world or whatever. And I go to authors who I have looked at and like, I like what you do. I want to work with you, right? And so I'm like, hey, you mind spending the next 18 to 24 months of your life on Zoom calls and, you know hanging out with me in my crazy little world? And we build the foundation I give them, and then we build everything on top together, right? Because it's my project, but it's our, you know, world, right? So there's a lot of like creature creation and, you know, political structures and Like, all of these things that have to be talked about and defined as best as possible before we even start writing the books, you know? So we all have to be on the same page before we start writing. And I think that was one of the questions that I was trying to answer for other shared world projects that I was a part of. It was like, hey, this is the idea. Everybody go write your book. And like, I never talked to any of the other authors. I don't know what their books are about. Like, I don't know their names at this point. Like, I couldn't tell you who they were, right? I didn't want that for my projects. I wanted us to be like in this together. And so we created this world. My projects with these shared worlds is that they're all created by a god or goddess, right? And this particular goddess says, this is my world, y'all gonna respect it, period. And if a species should evolve to a point where they become a society, and that society starts to have negative impacts on the world that she's given them, then she challenges them to what is called the Eldritch Trials, which means they have to come up with one challenger that represents their entire species to go into this trial. And if they fail, the entire species is cursed. She's like, I don't care if you was living on the other side of the world. I don't care if you didn't know nothing about it. You are all one people, right? And I think the whole idea of her world came from like reflections of the world we live in right now, where everyone is so like, oh, I'm an individual. Like, you know, what they doing over there don't got nothing to do with me. But it's like, no, because if this world crumbles, we all out of here. Like, right? So it's like, what if we did have a goddess that was like hands-on and like paying attention? And there's even like lore for her in her realm of gods and goddesses, where everyone else is just popping out all these planets, and this goddess creates this one, and she's just like, this is my world and I just love it and I'm gonna make sure it's okay. So it's like there's gonna be like a back story that comes out for her as well, as like how she's navigating that. And, you know, in her realm of gods and goddesses, the people with the most planets are like, you know,
what you doing?
They're the ish, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, you over here still with that one little planet, you know? Girl, get it together, you know?
Right.
But so the whole idea is like each book is about a different main character who represents a different species in this world who is now being challenged by the goddess because they're not acting right. Things ain't right. So
I love that so much. Like, every aspect of it, because one of the things that I know comes up a lot in like different author communities, because I got a little toe in different ones, right? And it's always the idea comes like, oh, we should like write a book together because I love your creativity. I love that. But I like the fact that you mentioned that it's more than just an idea. It's more than just saying, oh, this is what we're going to do. And like you said, having meetings, having conversations and being like, yes, we have a foundation that, you know, this is it. Like this is concrete. This is solid. But this is literally just the bones of the project. But we have to build out everything else together so that, like you said, it's not just one person telling the other one, oh, this is what you need to write, this is the rules, and da 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 da. But no, like, we built this together, and you have input and say on this world just as much as I do, to the extent that we're building it out and having that sense of ownership. And I feel like when it comes to co-authoring, that is something that I wish kind of more authors talked about publicly, about how anthologies and shared worlds and co-authoring can be either a really great experience or a really terrible experience, depending on the leadership and how many hands are in the pot, I'll say.
Yeah.
And how much say you have going into building up the world or whatever. So if you're listening to this episode of the podcast and you're like, oh, like, I'm interested in doing that either in the future, or you're working now on a project or something like that, like, what advice would you give to those listeners who are like, this is what I want to do? How do I go about making sure, especially if they're not the one who is creating the project and they're just a part of it?
If you're a part of it, it becomes a little bit trickier because you kind of sign on for whatever the person who invited you into it has done. It's always, I mean, hopefully whoever that is open to suggestions. But as someone who's organizing it, so from both sides, right, when I was just invited into something, I just kind of had to be like, hey, I think we should do this. And then that idea is either taken or not. And you can't take that personally. It's just your decision of whether or not you're going to continue to be a part of the project, right? If you don't like, my thing is, if you don't like the way a project is being managed, don't be a part of the project. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay to say, you know what, on second thought, I'm not going to be a part of this because this is not being operated the way I want to. I think more people should do that. And for me, a former people pleaser, that it was hard for me to do that. That's why I'm a part of some things that I'm like, I don't know those people. Like, I'm so disconnected from it now, right? I did not like the way it was managed, but I had to kind of get over myself of being like, I don't want these people to be angry at me. Like, yes. At the end of the day, your name is going on this thing. So if it isn't what you want it to be, don't put your name on it, you know?
Ooh, that's a word. I'm going to say that again in case you missed it. In case you was listening on this 2x speed. I'm saying it again for you. I'm slowing down. If you don't want your name on it, do not be a part of it. Walk away. That is, I feel like that's such a word, especially if you listen to this and you're a Black woman, because being a part of American society and not wanting to be seen as the angry Black woman or the difficult one or the one who does not work well with others, or just being opinionated in general and not wanting to be perceived in a certain way because you know who you are and you want people to perceive you the way that you are, but you also don't want to be perceived as like a weak or a pushover, but you also don't want to be tagged as problematic. Yeah, it's okay to just know that it's okay from two Black women to another. It is perfectly okay for you to walk away from a project and be like, you know what? Y'all got this. I wish you the best. I hope you thrive, but I'm not going to be a part of this. I can't sign off on it. And when you said that, one of the things that I thought about is like Avatar: The Last Airbender and how the creators of it were at Netflix, had Netflix money, had Netflix budget, were in production. And they were just like, you know what? Still piece it out. This is not for us.
This ain't working for me.
Not doing it. And you know what happened? Nickelodeon came back and was like, we're going to give you your own studio so you can do whatever it is that you want. Period. So it's like they walked out of one opportunity and another one came right behind it that was better, that was exactly what they wanted. And I feel like that happens so often when you are moving in the way that you're supposed to be moving, where it's just like, this may seem like a really big opportunity, but if it ain't right, maybe all it ain't right. Keep it pushing. The next one will come along and it will be right for you. But we're gonna stay on topic this moment, this here afternoon, actually, because I was late, yes. So we're not gonna talk about that. That being said, the trials, the Eldritch Trials, are a series of 8 books, and they are going to be spread out. The first one comes out, I know, in July, but what's the release date of the first one?
July 11th.
July 11th, you guys. So go ahead, check it out, pre-order the book, get hype about it. There will be a link in the show notes to the actual website so you can see all the books, all the authors, all that good stuff, and you know they're going to be on the Melanin Library. So for sure, get into it. And I'm going to take a wild stab at this. Is your book the first one in the series?
Yes.
And it's called A Corruption of Gilded Ashes. So tell us a little bit more specifically about your book.
So for me, I like to do things that may have not been seen before. So I created a new species of water griffin. So they're like a hybrid of a regular griffin and a mermaid. And in this world, everyone knows about land griffins. Like, they are one of the oldest civilizations in Eldritch. But what they don't know is that they have a sister species called the water griffins who live just beneath their home. And the water griffin are at a point where they're like, we don't like what y'all doing. Y'all not really, this isn't like an equal partnership anymore. And we want out. We want our own home. We want to be known. We want to be established in this world. The land griffins ain't trying to hear it. They like, no babes. We know, we don't want that. We want y'all to stay hidden and, you know, and I'm trying not to give too much away, right?
Right.
But the main character is Malway, who is the princess of the water griffins. And she, very... against being a royal. She just wants to be free. She's like, I'm not even the oldest. I'm not even going to be running nothing. Like, let me go live my life. Again, that's not okay, right? But eventually we get to the point where the land griffins are challenged because they just doing dirty. They hurting the planet. The goddess is upset. And Malway enters her name because she like, I feel like I have to. This is my event. This is my journey. And her mother is very upset with her about this, right? So it's about her struggle to like establish herself for her from her family, as well as she's thinking like, if I can do this, this will let the goddess know that we are ready to stand on our own as a people, and we can live separately from the land griffin. It's very dark, lots of death.
Love it.
Tears. I've had notes from beta readers. I've even had some of my ARC readers message me already like, oh my God, like, what did you do to us? I didn't realize that it was that heavy emotionally, but it is, you know. And I'm like, as an author, I'm like, well, I did my job. Y'all felt things.
It's like I gave you emotions. What did you come here
for? Right. You're feeling the feels. Yes. That's good, right? But yeah, it's really just about, you know, the struggle for like wanting separation and wanting to stand on your own, both for their people and for this princess who is dealing with a lot of loss and heartache and identity crisis. Like, one of the things that we did, I when I invited these authors in, I said, you need to know your character on a psychological level so you can break them. Like, that's what we need to do, right? Like, we need to break them, because the goddess is that type of goddess. Like, she's like, I'm gonna get to the thing about you that you don't even know is there, and I'm gonna crush it and see if you survive. And if you survive, then yay for your people. But if not, then you all will suffer.
It's like, are you the strong one? Are you the mentally strong one? Can you survive the deep secret marine training where they drop exactly. you in the middle of the night, tied up with both your legs and your arms in the middle of the ocean, blindfolded, and expect you to swim somewhere to survive?
That part, yeah. I'm sinking to the bottom. I'm telling you that right now.
Don't pick me, bruh. I am the weakest link. Vote me off the island.
Yeah. So, it was such a fun project to write. Heavy. And then one of the things that I dealt with while writing the book, my grandfather passed away. So writing her loss and then processing my own loss at the same time was, I believe, is why the readers are like, why did you do this to us? Because I was like, you know how we do. Yep. We kind of work through our own issues a little bit with our characters, right?
Yep.
So I believe that's what happened a little bit there. So I'm excited. We're days away from the release. Got pre-orders coming in pretty steadily. So I'm just, you know, ready for it to get out there. All of the initial feedback I got back was really good. And it's just like, my book has to do well so that people continue reading the other books. Yeah.
No pressure, right? This is your own trial.
Right, no pressure.
I mean, honestly, listening to it, I'm excited for it, because one of the things that I always kind of think and sometimes, you know, bring up is just the fact that fantasy, one, is so wide and so diverse, but also whenever I'm on TikTok and whenever I'm on like Instagram, people are always like, oh, where are the books with the black fantasy? I want black mermaids. I want black this. I want black that. And I'm like, have you seen Jessica Cage? Have you seen any of the stuff that she's done? Because she's got it. She's got it in droves, y'all. Like, check it out. And it's not just you. And so I'm just kind of like, it exists for one, but I also like that not only are you doing the fantasy, but you're not afraid to make it emotional. You're not afraid to make it dark. You're not afraid to add elements of the fun. I'll say the fun elements of it, because I also feel like sometimes as writers, especially as black writers, we kind of feel like this need to, as I'll say, not add trauma into our books. And I feel like so people are very quick to judge a book with a black main character by a black author and be like, oh, this book is too heavy. Oh, this book is too emotional. Oh, this book just, it was too much trauma and I'm not trying to read that. I want escapism, and so therefore I refuse to read it. And I'm not saying that those things are invalid, I'm not trying to invalidate anyone's experience, but I also feel like in light of, you know, this recent discussion that's been going around on TikTok about the specific girl who was talking about, oh, I like to meet my roommates because I like escapism. Okay, ma'am, Miss Ma'am. All right, there are always going to be people like that. But also, I feel like whenever this conversation comes up, because whenever you listen to this podcast, I don't know who the current girly is who said it, but this conversation recycles on every three months on some social platform. There is some self-hating black woman usually who comes out talking about, I don't like to read black romance,
because, but also y'all can't take my black card away. I'm like, sweetie, the moment you said you tried to validate your blackness, you gave away your black card of your own free will, because that, yeah, that's something that doesn't need to be validated, but that's a whole other conversation we're not going to get into right now. Point is, the whole conversation of trauma in black stories, it lacks nuance whenever it comes up. Because just because something has, like you said, processing grief or processing emotional, I don't say devastation or any type of emotion, good, bad, positive, whatever, just because someone black is going through it does not inherently make it trauma. And I feel like that is the part of the conversation that always gets lost. It's not always oppression just because people are dealing with stuff, because I think people also forget that it's a book. Like, there, yeah, has to be some type of conflict. Otherwise, it's not a book. It's just like a scene, a picture.
Let us give our characters the bandwidth to grow and process. And I feel like what people forget is that readers connect to these characters, right? So if we're taking away the humanness of emotion and, you know, grief and all of those things, the happy, the sad, all of it is a part of the experience, right? Whether the character themselves, it may not be human, but that's what the reader is connecting to. So if we as black authors extract that from our stories, we're doing both our characters and our readers and a disservice, you know what I mean? Absolutely. Like, we want to write full stories, and whether, I mean, if it's not for you, it's not for you. Don't read my book. That's fine. But I'm not going to then strip away the good, like, deep diving and exploration of my stories for someone else's escapism. That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, you're not going to take away the depth of your character and your story simply because someone else hasn't done the inner work and the processing to be able to process their own emotions enough to be able to read something that has depth and emotion. I'm not like throwing shade at anyone or anything, but also if you feel like reading a black person being sad or dealing with something that's uncomfortable is straight up trauma, like, I feel like we always jump straight to trauma. Yeah. And it's just like, sometimes it's just a problem, bruh. Sometimes, yeah,
it's not that traumatic. Come on now.
It's not that traumatic. This is not about to be like a life scarring moment for this character. It's just an obstacle, okay? Yeah. Chill out. But and all that to say is that I appreciate you for writing the stories and for writing characters in stories with depth and thinking about it, because I also feel like when we get into talking about fantasy and getting talking about series, sometimes as an author, and something that I experienced myself, it's just like, you know, sometimes you get into it and when you don't have everything thought out, you get in way over your head and you're like, ah, how is this gonna work? How is this magic system supposed to work out?
Yeah.
Should have thought about that from the very beginning. So I love that. I love everything about this. I'm really excited for this series. And if you guys are listening to this, truly, sincerely, genuinely, please check out the trials. Like I said, one book is coming out. It's one a month, right?
It's one a week.
I lied. One a week for the next 8 weeks. Once the first book drops, so be sure to check it out. That being said, I'm not going to try to keep y'all on this podcast episode all day. So I have two more questions for you, and then we can kind of wrap this up if you're good with that. First, and they kind of go in the same vein. So I lied, it's three questions, because one of them I just absolutely have to ask you. So first one is, if someone is looking to get into your work for the first time, so they've never read anything by Jessica Cage, which book or series do you recommend that they pick up in 2023? Any of them?
I always give two answers. So if you are, because I do write spicy and I do write clean. So if you're looking for spicy urban fantasy, then you're going to go with the Siren series, which is about Serenata, who is the daughter of a siren and a warlock, and both sides of her family tree think she's too powerful to exist. It's a very adult fantasy novel as she unlocks the powers of her siren and, you know, understands all that comes with that. If you prefer a clean fantasy, then I always suggest the Jin Rebellion series, which actually started when I started thinking about that series when I was a child. I kept wondering what would happen to the genie from Aladdin. Like, he's immortal and Aladdin and, you know, the rest of them are not. And so I don't know, one day I was like, I'm just gonna sit down and write a little short story about it. And it turned into a 7-book series, which actually places Jin, who is our genie, 300 years into the future in a world that is a post-apocalyptic Earth. So in modern times, humans found out that magic and all these creatures do exist. And they was like, we're going to war because we don't want to share our world with all these creatures. And humans lost that war. So now,
clearly,
come on now, what are you doing?
That's not a good choice.
300 years into the future, the world is run by all these supernatural beings. And Jin is like one of the last existing genies. He's like on his own. He don't want no problems, and everybody's okay with that. Like, he's neutral. He's sitting over there in his corner, leave him be. But then he finds out that the wife that they told him died was actually still alive and being held captive by a warlock who was trying to use her powers to start the second apocalypse. So it's about him coming out of retirement, you know, and getting back into the swing of things to find his wife.
Okay, so the way I'm about to go pick that up and get into it, because as soon as you said the genie from Aladdin, I need you to know that my brain as a child also wanted to, but what is he gonna do? Because like, Aladdin's gonna die at some point. Jasmine's gonna die. But like,
he has no friends.
But then I was like, but he still got Carpet, because him and Carpet been homies for a long time. Because as soon as that's he came true. Out, he's like, hey, rug man.
But in this story, Carpet is a motorcycle.
Love it.
So yeah.
Okay. I'll get into that. Okay, so the next two questions kind of go hand in hand. So the first one is kind of broad and kind of specific, because, you know, you've published over 30 books at this point and you're still going, right? And you are by far nowhere near the end of your writing career. So what's one thing that you think has helped you in having such longevity in this writing career? And is there anything that you would have changed about your writing career up to this point?
Let's talk about the change first. When I started publishing, I was very naive and very much like, I'm just gonna do it on my own without asking questions. And this is actually part of like the advice that I would give, right? Mm-hmm. So the first 5 years of my career, I wrote stuff and I put stuff out, but it wasn't going anywhere. And then I wrote my Siren series, the first book. And that was the first book that I like had a community around me supporting me through the process and answering questions. I, you know, researched with people on different factors that go into the storyline. And that was my first book that dropped and like got awards and recognition. And, you know, it brought readers to me like in droves, right? So, if I could change anything, I would go back to, you know, newbie author Jessica and say, hey, before you press publish on this book that was only edited by your cousin, let's get in community with some other writers and find out like how this process should really go, right?
Yeah.
And that's what that would be my advice. If you're looking to be in this and you want longevity, you have to have a community. And people say it all the time, find your tribe. And understand that some people may look like they are going to be a part of your tribe forever, and then they don't, and it's okay. And you will outgrow people as you go. And some people will outgrow you, or you'll just grow into different directions. But be open to community, be open to asking questions, surround yourself with people who will be honest with you. It took me a long time to find the beta readers I have now, because I want beta readers who are going to call me out if I do something wrong. You know what I mean? Don't surround yourself with people who are just going to praise you no matter what, because it's not helpful. It doesn't help you in the long run, and you'll find yourself looking around and be like, everyone's telling me I'm so great, but like, what's going on, right? Like, I'm not seeing that on the other end of this. Absolutely. I'm grateful that I found the community. Most of my community now, my tribe came to me, like they picked up something of mine and was like, I love this and I want to be a part of this. And now we work together, right? Mm-hmm. And that's nice to have it organic. Sometimes it won't work that way. Sometimes you got to go out there and wrangle some people yourself. But having that group that you can lean on, that you can talk to when things get heavy, that won't just tell you to walk away, because some people think it's helpful to be like, oh girl, just take a break. just go on somewhere, you know, and that's not helpful. Like, I need to talk this through. I need to, you know.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things, like, my first tribe, my first community was people who just complained and found no reason to look for a solution. You know what I mean? We're just going to talk about how everything sucks, and then we'll talk about it again tomorrow. And it's like, okay, but what are we doing to fix it? How do we make this better? How do we make our journey better, stronger? And those are the people I had to leave behind, right? Because it's like, I love you, girl, but you messing with my mindset now, right?
I honestly love that you have said that, because one of the things that I talk about all the time, and one of the things that I always, always, always advise people, especially like when I have mentoring clients and they're like, okay, I'm trying to write, publish a book, I'm trying to start, but I don't know where to begin. One of the first things I always tell them, you need a community. You cannot do this by yourself. Because like you said, at the beginning, you kind of feel like, especially, and I'll say this specifically, you know, just being candid, especially if you're Black and especially if you're a woman and you have grown up with Black parents, their thing is they want you to be stable. They want you to be taken care of. So 9 times out of 10, you know, generically speaking, if this doesn't apply to you, then it doesn't apply to you. But generically speaking, blanket statement, they're usually like, you don't need to be a writer because that's not stable. You're not going to be able to support yourself. You're not going to be able to do this. And then when you grow up hearing that, you kind of get to a point when that dream continues to bloom and you're trying to contain it and you're trying to keep it in a glass jar. And it just keeps growing and growing. And eventually that little glass jar that you have in it just shatters because there's just not space to contain it. It has to go somewhere. You just get to a point where you just like bump it. I don't care what they say. I don't care what anybody says. I'm just write this book and I'll put it out in the world. And you do it kind of like, I have to do this. I have to get it out. I cannot wait. And you don't take the time to build the foundation. You don't take the time to ask the questions. You don't take the time to learn and do it in a way where you can, where it can be stable. And you usually end up a couple of years down the line where you're like, ooh, I shouldn't have done that. You know?
I'm trying to see if you have my journal, because I feel like you just told.
Girl, I'm telling my life.
Did you read my journal?
it's hard, right? And it's to say that you need a community, no matter what kind of community. And I'm also glad that you brought up the fact that if you were in here long enough, right? It's like with any other job. Like if you might be in an industry, but you might switch jobs. So like you're still a marketer, but you don't work for the same company. You know, you're still an accountant, but you don't work for the same firm. Whatever. Writing is a lot like that too. When you find your community, the community that you start out with may not be the community that you're with a year down the line, 2 years down the line, 5 years, 10 years, whatever. And that's not to say that you don't like those people anymore, but the reality of it is that this is growth. Right? It's not a race, but it's growth. And like you said, sometimes you outgrow people. Sometimes they outgrow you. Sometimes you go different paths. Sometimes it's a matter of, okay, I decided we met because I wanted to write romance. But once I got that out of my system, now I'm like, oh, I want to write dark fantasy. And you're like, I want to write meet cutes. Okay, well, we can still be cool, but like those are two completely different things, different expectations, being able to bounce off of each other. It happens. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because it's okay if you are like, I need a new community. I need a new tribe. I need to switch things up. And it's okay to recognize that you cannot bring everyone with you. You cannot necessarily move to a better place, not a better place, to a different place or a better place for you, taking along people who still want to be where they're at or move in a different direction. It's okay. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you a bad friend. You're not betraying anyone. But at the end of the day, former people pleasers here talking to you, you have to do what's best for you and your growth and your career, you know, because also speaking for myself, I know for my next series, I already have a group of people who I know I want to like tap on the shoulder and be like, hey, I'm working on this. Will you be my little community of like 2 to 3 people where it's just like, hey, I'm going to be, and I phrase it as I'm going to be annoying with you because that's who I am and I know my truth. But it's like, yeah, I'm tapping you on my shoulder. Like, does this sound good? Do you like this? Is this the direction should I go in? Can I brainstorm with you? Right? And it's not the same people that I use for We Are the Origin or We Are Dying Gods. That's okay. I still love those people, but yeah. Different direction. And I feel like more people need to be okay with that, because I feel like that's really hard, especially when you do find a community, especially if you're looking for a Black author community. It can be really hard to feel like, oh, I love you guys, but also I love you guys. but you know.
So I'm like on the opposite. Like, I see the community there now that I've been wanting for so long, but I'm so introverted and so like, I'm just like, hey, yeah, it looks nice over there. Don't talk. No, no. No, she I'm said, okay. No, I'm okay. It looks nice though. I'm so happy for you guys.
Because I love that for you.
Love that for you guys. For you. Yeah. I'm going to go back in my cave over here though. But you guys have fun.
Nothing wrong with that. But you know, I think that also speaks to the fact that you have your people and you can deal with them individually. And I think that's something else. Like, you don't have everybody that you know, all your friends ain't gotta be friends with each other. Like, that's not necessary.
Most of my friends don't know each other. It's perfectly fine. It's
you guys, you don't have to have a group chat with 15 people in it to be friends. It's not necessary.
Because I'm not even opening in the group chat at that point. Like, I'm not even going in there. I don't know what y'all talking about.
Has nothing to do with me.
Mute it.
And that is author advice and life advice, okay? All your friends do not have to be friends with each other, okay?
At all, yeah.
But we are going to go ahead and wrap this up. So last question, like I said, similar vein, but slightly different. A little bit more individualistic, holistic, however you want to look at it. But what writing advice would you give any new authors just now starting out on their journey?
Love this question. Find your process. I feel like I get this question so often and they're like, give me advice. I'm like, you have to figure out what works for you. I can tell you what works for me. It's not going to work for you because my brain is like, it's a loco choco thing happening up here, right? So it's like, find your process and research. I think a lot of new authors want you to just hand them the blueprint and be like, go forth and prosper. That's not how this works. Because you're going to find something, I'm going to give it, and maybe 2 out of the 30 things that I said apply to you. Be okay with building your own process. Be okay with stumbling along the way as you do that. Like I said, it took me 6 books to find my process, to find my voice, to find this is me in this, right? So understand there's going to be some trial and error. Ask the questions, but only take what resonates with you, right?
Amen.
A lot of people have this like ABCD, this is how you're supposed to do it. If you don't do it like this, you're going to fail type of mindset. And it's like, no, because A and Z may work for you out of that whole process. Yep. And the rest of it will not. And you're going to be trying to force your way through something that is not for you. It's not, you know, working with you. You have, like, people have the plotter and the pantser and, you know, I am a pantser and I had to plot for a world to share with other people. That's why this takes so long. I can't, you know? So it's like, you have to find what works for you. And again, that comes along with, like we said, building a community of people that you can have honest discussions with and talk through those things that you're learning and figure out what works for you. Because one of the things you'll end up doing is you'll get all these courses that tell you what to do, and then you beat yourself up if it doesn't work for you. Mm-hmm. It's not, nothing's gonna work 100% for you. You find your way as you go. And just be open to the process, because it's a beautiful thing when you wake up one day or you sit down at your desk and you start writing and you're like, whoa, I know this is me. You know what I mean? Like that moment when it hit me, I was like, oh, shit. I have these keys, you know what I mean? I think like just enjoy the process and the journey of discovering who you are as an author, your voice and your process, and then take the pressure off. You know, we all do this because it's what we love. It's a passion. It's supposed to be fun. You know, let it be fun. So.
I love everything that you just said. Like truly, like in my spirit, I'm just like, thank you for saying this, because I am such a huge advocate of all of that. Like, enjoy the journey and, you know, figure out your process, because like you said, people will come and they'll be like, how do you do this? And like you said, they want it on a silver platter. Like, this is it. This is the magic formula. This is the secret formula. This is how you do it. This is how, if you do this, this, and this, you'll get the exact same results that I got every single time. And it's not a formula. It's a journey. So you have to figure out what works for you. How do you do this? And that's why whenever, like I said, whenever I'm talking to people, this podcast, the YouTube channel, if I'm on somebody else's platform, if I'm having a mentoring client, I don't care who it is. I ain't never going to tell you. It ain't never going to come out my mouth. This is what you have to absolutely do. I'm be like, well, this is what I did and it worked for me, but take it with a grain of salt because you're a grown person and you have to make your own decisions. And if this doesn't sound right, if this does not resonate in your spirit, don't take it. Okay? Because first of all, Chelsea is never going to be responsible for your career. Okay? You have to be responsible for that for yourself. So if fail or flop, that ain't got nothing to do with me. First of all. Mm-hmm. Second of all, you have to, I feel like kind of going back into what I asked you before, longevity. If you really want to do this, if this is the decision that you have made for yourself, seriously, then you have to take the time to explore what works in advice. One of the things that one of my friends says, D.L. White, love her, check out her books. But she's always like, advice comes from people who are telling you what worked for them. That does not mean it will work for you. So you have to vet it. You have to take it with a grain of salt. And like you mentioned, like courses, workbooks, like writing books, courses, yada, yada, yada. All of that, if you beat yourself over the head with it and you're like, I have to do it this way, it's going to be exponentially harder for you to figure out how you want to do this thing and how to make it work for you. Because like Stephen King's on writing is like somewhere in there. He's like, you got to write every single day. Mm-hmm. But then if you go to any other place, especially a person of color who has also a full-time job and they're trying to juggle both, they're going to be like, sometimes you can't write every day. Sometimes you have to block off time. That's the general consensus behind it. So critical thinking, take multiple pieces of advice and see what's the same behind them. At least that's what I think, but we're not going to get into that because it's not my advice. It's Jessica's advice. And I suggest that you take it. So.
Yeah, I mean, I've bought so many different writer books and tools and things, and I just pick at what I like. Some books, I don't even read the whole thing. I read the one section in that book that I wanted to know what they were talking about for that section. I'm like, okay, write some notes. And then I will never read the rest of that book. Like, I got what I wanted from it. So.
No, that's real. That's real because that's pretty much how I function as well. Like, I read the Snowflake Method. And I was like, ooh, this is cool. But he said, sit here for 2 hours and write a blurb. No. Skip over that part. And I was just like, let me see what he, but I like the part where it's like talking about character development, how to break it down and how to evaluate. So I still take parts of that, but also I think it's important if you are listening to this and you're like, oh, but Chelsea, but Jessica, I love the books. Okay. We're not telling you it's wrong, but also my advice is to take it in chunks. So like take it in seasons. So look for new resources when you feel you're at the point where you need to change your process, where you need to grow your process. But if you have read 5 books and you still haven't found your process, that means that you need to do something in the process to figure out what you need, to figure out, to know what you don't know, to figure out what you need to improve. So some things you can train to run a marathon all you want. You can read all the books. You can listen to famous marathoners and runners. You can be like, yeah, okay, need to stretch, need to do the hamstrings, need to get the muscle, whatever. Until you actually run a freaking marathon, you're not gonna know that you need to work on your stamina because your breath work's not right. You know, like
I always say, break the process. Yes. Start with the process that you thought, like, so okay, save the cat. A lot of people want to say, let's get save the cat. Start with that, work through that process, and wherever it breaks, that's where you need to go and build it out for yourself. But don't be upset when it breaks, because there will be breaks in the process, right? You're going to have to modify it for you, but find one that resonates and like, okay, I think this is the way I flow. And then do what you got to do. And when it breaks, be like, okay, make yourself a note. I got to find another solution for this, you know, because now I can't do the rest of this process because I'm stuck here. And then that's how you kind of piecemeal your own, you know, functioning solution.
Yeah. And I will also say, last thing adding to that, don't be afraid to let your process change. So even after you're successful and you're like, this is my process, if something breaks again, don't be afraid to be like, okay, well now I need to reevaluate it because the thing that worked for book one may not work for me for book 5 and 6. You know, that's okay. That's normal.
I have a new process for every series, so.
You know, I'm so glad that you said that, because literally I'm over here starting the first book of another series and I'm just like, yo, this is nothing like how when I started the Wrath of the Gods series. I'm like, this is different. But anyway, I'm gonna wrap this up because this is coming up on like an hour, and I, like I said, I wasn't trying to keep it. I was trying to keep it at 30 minutes, but y'all see how I do. I run my mouth. I'm so sorry. Anyway, that being said, you guys, I'm gonna let Jessica let you know where to find her and all of that good stuff, and then I'm gonna close this out. So Jessica, let them know.
All right. You can find me on my website, jessicacage.com, or on all social media platforms at jcageauthor. I try to make it simple. Like, love that. You don't have to look it hard for me.
Awesome. So that being said, you guys, that is it for this episode of the Written Melanin Podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast, then please share it with someone you think may enjoy it. Join my Patreon at patreon.com/CM Lockhart or grab a copy of my books, We Are the Origin and We Are Dying Gods, from my website, cmlockhart.com. If you'd like to support Jessica, then please purchase her books and follow her on social media, and also pre-order her upcoming book, which is coming out later this month. There are links in the show notes for everything, and thank you guys so much for listening. So, until next time, I hope all your books are full of melanin.